Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Stephanie Peterson and Oceana LeBlanc with Practical Witchery. Today we are going to be talking about the dark side of living. All those emotions, all that swampy stuff that maybe doesn't feel so love and light to you, and maybe you don't know how to handle it, or you worry that it could affect your ability to manifest, to be happy, to do other things. Welcome. Hello, Oceana. How are you? Hello, Oceana. Welcome. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you this morning, Stephanie?
I am doing well. So today we are talking about kind of the dark side of living a life in the light, kind of the swampy stuff. Oh, my gosh, I'm exhaling here. Good time to talk about this kind of thing now that we're into a new year, right? Not carrying it with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so interesting, you know, I think if we're really conscious, you know, really paying attention, it's like you have to really closely pay attention to what's happening in your life, what you're embarking on, what's new, like the new year, and then connect that somehow to the emotions that start to come up, because when we're unconscious about all of it, it can just feel like it's random, and it's just really, you know, the longer I'm around, the longer that I notice my behaviors and my emotional ups and downs, the more that I begin to be able to connect the dots.
Okay, so that's interesting. So, random, connect the dots. So it sounds like there's some intention even in our swampiness. Let's talk about that, because I think a lot of people know why they're swampy. They know why they're upset, but some people don't. So how does one know if one doesn't know?
I think community is really important. I think either community or deep self-reflection or combination. I mean, I think people that journal begin to notice patterns, and they're much more conscious of their cycles and intentional because they're tracking them carefully. You know, they watch what they're thinking come out on paper, and then they can review it and they go, huh, wait a minute, that was happening around the time this was happening, and that's how I was feeling, and oh, that's happened more than once. And then also with community, it's like it's reflected back to you off the paper, and also in community, it's reflected back from other people. So you can be with somebody, and they'll suddenly, after a few years, you know, you're in a partnership, and they'll go, you know, every year, the day before this anniversary, seems to be that this happens with you. This is how you're feeling.
Huh.
And it brings our awareness to the way that our cycles move.
That makes perfect sense. That does. So we know what we're swampy about. We know what we're upset by. How do we handle it? I think a lot of us try to get rid of it. We just, oh my God, let's get rid of this. Or we'll look at it and we'll say, oh, we need to fix this, and maybe it's too big to fix or something. But we'll do some kind of thing to clear it. Immediately.
Well, I think that the Western model is to medicate, or cut something out, or shove it down, or put it away, or get rid of it. Like that's the very Western sort of, well, I want, you know, I feel like the word patriarchy has been used like beaten to death, but honestly, I don't know what other word to use. It's kind of like the patriarchal culture of, you know, let's compartmentalize everything. You know, when you start compartmentalizing your feelings and engage them as a part of all of who you are and equally important to who you are and how you move through the world, when you can't do that, then you stifle. And, you know, many people deal with it in many different ways. I think some people medicate it, and then it comes out in illness eventually. because it's energy. It's all energy, right? And the body the body reflects to us. It's the barometer for what is going on with our energy. It's really a barometer. So, you stifle enough and it can come out in physical ailments, diseases, whatever. Or if you medicate enough, eventually it will come up and out. And so, I know you and I have learned amazing ways to allow things to surface and be released. There are so many ways to do it. I mean, there's so many holistic ways. Therapy is great, and people go and do dance, and they do mind-body processes, shadow work. The list goes on and on. I think the simplest thing, especially for women, because we are so connected to the cycles of life, it's real important for us to experience our emotions, because the emotions to the body, order.
It's
kind of like there's this cauldron of emotion and intuition. Emotion and intuition are very connected, and sensation in the body is very, it's all connected. Mm-hmm. And when you cut off the emotions and or don't allow them to release, then you can't, as a woman, I find it very difficult to have access to any of the good stuff, the good stuff is the intuition, it's the wisdom, it's the knowledge, and it's the, being able to navigate in the world.
Right.
And
it's the message.
There's another piece there I can't seem to be. The message that
it's the message.
Emotion's trying to tell you. Like, what are my boundaries?
Yeah.
I don't even know what they are if I don't know that something's pissing me off.
Right. I tell that to my kids all the time. Like, we did not come down here or here, up here, however direction you think we got to this earth. We did not come here to have an easy time. We came here to learn lessons. And so if you're always shutting off, the difficult, that's always usually where the lessons are. The lessons usually aren't, sunny days, cotton candy, flat expanses. The lessons are going up and down hills, rain, darkness. The lessons are in there. And so you cannot shun those. You have to move into those. So, yes, you definitely have to feel that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me ask you then, Oceana, because we know this, and it's never pleasant to feel it, but we do it. We do it because it's, what we do. How do you handle those people in your life who are kind of freaking out that you're experiencing the darkness? Because I find that a lot of people get very uncomfortable when they see you or see one experiencing darkness. They really struggle with that.
Yeah. They really do. I think you just have to educate them. And if they're capable of understanding or even accepting, just accepting it, once you've explained it, they're not, then those are not the people to be surrounding yourself with. And they're also not, it doesn't mean you have to, excise them from your life, extricate them. But,
right.
But you don't want to be in your vulnerability around them. We can't just stop the, there's a time and a place for everything as well. And, we do need to take care of ourselves and have to continue to navigate through the world. And so I think, if you're in a job where you have to present a certain way, you really can't show up screaming and crying, right, or raging, but you find a container. You find by container I mean a safe place and time where you won't be disturbed, where you either have a person that supports you and is able to hold those emotions and allow them, or you journal them. You do the different things that are going to allow you to emote in a safe way where you won't hurt yourself or somebody else.
Okay, can we go a little deeper with that whole safe person, safe place thing? Because I think a lot of us will turn to a loved one and we just assume they are a loved one, of course they're a safe sounding board. They have our back. They love us. And then we tell them, or we, you know, break down in front of them, and it does not go well. And we end up feeling either crazy, or we feel chastised, or we feel unsafe or something. So what does that safe word mean?
Well, first of all, you know, for me, I have found that women are the space holders. Okay. Men are not the space holders for intense emotional expression. They're not. They are extremely sensitive. And because they have so, especially like when they're, now, obviously, if somebody's trained in that, that's different. I'm not saying across the board every man on the planet. But I'm saying if you are in a relationship and you are expressing as the feminine and that person is expressing as the masculine, and they have a vested natural instinct where they are their sense of building themselves up in self-worth is informed by your happiness, then they will not be able to hold that space unless you've done a lot of work and there's somebody there and somebody professional and you've discussed how this is not a reflection of them and, you know, and it has to be done very carefully. And I know so many relationships where the woman doesn't understand that the man or the masculine partner is not a hairy woman. Women hold space naturally. We hold space for birth, death, life, snotty sick children, vomiting, illness, poverty, you name it. We are down and dirty with the blood and guts of life because we know it intimately. Unless you have a woman who's really been wounded or trained and trained from birth to be in her masculine and to cut off her own feminine. Mm-hmm. Now, that's another story. However, if you get a woman that's in touch with her feminine and she's not, you know, so wounded that she, you know, or so repressed that she cannot express her nurturing aspect, you know, So you need to find somebody like that or a community like that. And that's the place. And you also do it with an agreement. Like I would no sooner run over to your house raging and screaming and throwing dishes without being announced, just like run in and start doing it, than we should run into a room where our partner is and start raging and screaming at him. And expect him to be able to hold that because it's just, you know, it's not a safe space for him either, right? It requires communication and agreement. It requires a setup, right? It's like it requires an appointment. It's not just a walk-in experience. It's not.
So again,
just walk
it requires
into
intention.
The chair and expect service.
Right. This isn't City Care, right. No, it's intention. We're going back to the word intention. So even our swamping is intentional. That's really interesting. And I think that is Oceana because, especially now in today's world, I believe that so many people feel like, oh, let's let it all hang out. And I don't know if it's an offshoot from the 60s and 70s, that whole loosey-goosey, let your feelings show, it's all good as long as you're expressing it kind of thing. But I don't feel like that.
I feel like it's a brand new thing. It's about, you know, the more vulnerable and outrageous you can be, the more attention you can get
like the selfie culture.
Well, it's a combination because it depends on the healthy or the unhealthy aspect of it, but it's attention getting, right, in this loud world of media and social media. But also it's I want you to see my humanity so we can connect, but there's not there are no, you know, it's like it's boundaryless. It can become, and not always, but it can become boundaryless. And in that way, I feel that it strips people of some of their human dignity. Like there's a sovereign peace that I feel, this is just my personal thing, I feel like there's a sovereign peace that is so, it allows for a little bit of mystery so that so that we don't all become roommates, because then, you know, we lose our sexual attraction. We just do, you know.
Right. Right. No,
and
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. It's like that in relationship. But then, like you were talking about out in public, oh, my gosh, like, you know, over the airwaves, over videos, you know, let's just start screaming and crying and, you know, just showing everything and, you know, out in the open. It's kind of scary. I mean, it's scary.
It kind of is, right? Yeah. And it lacks the intention. It certainly does. Yeah. And it seems just so scattered and so lacking any power at all. Yes. That's interesting. Okay.
There's so many schools of thought on that. Yeah. Because I could look at it in so many ways. And I think that there's got to be some element of healthy intention involved for it to be successful. Yeah. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, okay, so let's talk about the word intention, especially in this realm. So when we're talking about, you know, intentional swamping or intentional, you know, going through the dark, you've mentioned things like journaling and speaking with someone who can hold the space. What are some other things that are intentional ways to deal and process and work with these dark feelings?
I feel like anything we do needs to be intentional. I think that you know, the mastery incorporates high intentionality. Now we're talking master level. Okay, master level living means if I'm going to have a bad day, I don't do it like a victim, right? Like everybody's got a bad day. But then they go, this bad day happened to me. Ah! Right? That's not empowering in any way, shape, or form other than it victimizes the people around you. And so it puts you in a state of power over by power over through drama, right?
Attention, attention seeking.
How much more powerful would it be to say, I declare this a bad day, and so I'm going to really ride this badness as hard as I can. I'm going to be a bad day ninja. I am going to cry today. I'm going to wear black. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to have steak for breakfast. My nails dark purple. I did that this morning. You know, and I felt better already. The minute I owned it, I was like, all right, I'm trying to have a bad day, but I'm actually feeling better.
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
In owning it and being intentional about it, you aren't resisting it anymore. And so it doesn't create that resistance that keeps it stuck.
You're also dancing with it. So you're actually welcoming what the universe has given you this day.
Dancing with it. Yeah. I pulled a card this morning. Okay, I woke up feeling so depressed, and I'm like, what is up with me? Like, this is just not normally my way of feeling in the morning. I'm usually really cheerful. I'm one of those really annoying early morning people, you know?
That's awesome.
And I woke up just like, oh, and I was like, oh boy, here we go. And I pulled a card, and the card was, you know, I like to pull tarot cards in the morning, and the card was all about being grateful for the gift inside of whatever it is. And I was just like, fuck you, you know, card. I was just in that place. I'm like, are you kidding me? I have to reframe. I am not in the mood to reframe this right now. So I reached, you know, I'm a good girl. So I... Part of me is a good girl anyway. The good girl part of me said, all right, I'm grateful that I have arms and legs, all right? And I'm grateful that I have a car. And what else? Let's see. There's food. There's food to eat. This is good. I really have to reach. And then I called you, right? I called my friend. I'm like, all right, like, let me just let this rip. Right, and you were
That's
gracious
awesome.
Enough to hold space for me. And I think the powerful part of that is that you know to celebrate the darkness when it comes, right? You have to have a friend that can love that you're doing it. Because if you don't receive that loving feedback, then it just it's more resistance.
Oh my
right.
God! Or you know what the worst is, Oceana, is when you offer your swamp up, and then the person starts to instruct you. That just makes me feel so awful. Oh
it's
my God,
worst.
That's awful.
Or they try to they try to tell you it's not as bad as you think it is, or you know, they're just gonna have. There's so many ways that people who feel uncomfortable will try to change. You know, they don't honor it. They don't honor your truth is what it is.
Right.
They're
right.
busy trying not to allow it because they can't hold it. They can't hold it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that feels awful.
Oh, man.
It's a very vulnerable thing to be able to offer it up. It's a powerful, vulnerable thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know,
so
you know you're in your suffering.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I know, right? So let's say you do offer it up to someone. You think it's a safe someone, and they react in a way that maybe isn't so safe. What do you do? So you don't how do you correct that so you don't feel as bad?
Oh, that's a really good question. How do you do it?
Yeah. I'm wondering myself. No, I just actually just went through this with someone, so I'm kind of, you know, wondering what you would do. But I'll tell you what I've done so far
is I
have kind of blessed the person, you know, blessed the person and blessed the person where they are, and also made sure that any shame that I felt, I let it go because I was kind of feeling shame for even offering up the swamp. So let it go. And I haven't let the swamp go. I have not let the swamp go, but I have let the shame about offering it up to the wrong person and getting instruction on it go. So, yeah.
Instruction. Yeah, and I know I've been guilty of that as well, of doing the wrong thing. We all have, because we live in a society that just perpetuates it.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to just be, I mean, if it's somebody you trust and love and know, then you have to kind of go, oh, wow, I just want to swamp this. I really don't want instruction. I just need to. You have to be more clear, you know, can you really hold space for this and love me in the shit of it, you know, just love how miserable I am right now. I need to feel it and be seen.
Yeah.
You know, and just if it's somebody that you know you can do it with. And oftentimes, unfortunately, we learn who can hold space and who can't by their reactions.
It's true.
Right? And then
it's
you have
true.
To track that. And if you can't remember, at least write it down somewhere. Like, make your list of safe people and unsafe. And don't do the reveal in front of unsafe people unless you're in the mood to get beat up. You know, sometimes you want to be feeling shameful and abused, right? And then
right.
You do it on
purpose.
Oh, my
God, it's
you
true.
Go, okay. I think everyone hates me today, and so then you could own that by going around telling your feelings to people that won't receive them, and then you can celebrate how miserably everyone dislikes you.
I know, that's hilarious. Yeah, and you know, and you're always welcome to a do-over as well. So if it doesn't go well with one person, you can have a do-over and find someone else. Yeah,
absolutely. It's important to have community. You know, everybody's got a gift that they bring, and not everybody can hold space the same way or relate in the same way. And so it's just like, you know, we don't have just one food for all moods and all vitamins, nutritional things. So we need many types of friends. And I think the problem comes when we've we've experienced betrayal and we have thwarted expectations about people, and then we don't know who is good at what, and we start isolating. You know, that's when it gets really sad. And so then you have to really kind of regroup and go, okay, let's pull up the big girl panties and go, who is good at what, and what can I expect from this person? They've already shown you. People show what they're capable of.
Yeah.
They really do. They may not, you know, you may not hear the same thing out of their mouths that you see in their behavior, but you've got to trust the behavior.
Right, right.
And then make
note of
it.
Absolutely.
And then
hold
a little space for them to change, but not put yourself at detriment while you're doing it. You don't want to if you know somebody has never, ever paid back a loan, ever, and they already have paid back four loans you've given them, then you may not want to loan them money, right? Or you might want
and just
own that, you know you're not going to get it back.
Right.
And just give
Absolutely.
What is your favorite way to really go deep into your unsavory emotions, your darker emotions, and allow them to, like, how do you...
It's interesting because I am not... You're brilliant at this. I'm very Scandinavian. I'm very at this. For me, to be really dark is withdrawing. I do a lot of walking. I do a lot of alone time. I like to be alone a lot when I'm feeling this. And then I like to connect with a safe person after I've had some alone time to stew. So I think my favorite way is to stew. And what that means is just replaying, trying not to add my own emotions or anything to it, but just replaying, like, why I'm feeling this way.
Yeah.
So how about you?
And that can be really effective, too. It's just, like, really owning that you just want to go into a cave and be left the hell alone, you know? I've done that.
Yeah.
It depends on where
I'm at.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes it's just... you know, writing it out for me really helps. I'm a big on writing and journaling.
Yeah.
And then oftentimes I start to see the pattern in the writing, or I see the discontent. I can actually put my finger on the exact core discontent when I just let it rip on writing. Or if I go somewhere completely alone and just really let it rip, expressing how I feel and saying everything I really want to say, not to the person, but just to empty space. And then I start to hear what I'm saying and I go, wow, I didn't know I thought that. Oh, look what's coming out.
Right.
You know, it's a surprise often. And that's why
women,
it's so important for us to express, because we don't see it when it's buried deep inside. We have to let it up where we can look at it.
Right.
And I think men, like often the men that I've known, they go into a cave with it and go dark with it. They kind of like go in there and they stew with it, like you were talking about, and they figure it out like a puzzle. And then when they've completed the puzzle, they feel good about themselves and they come back out. Because for men, being vulnerable is not, it's not savory for them, you know. It doesn't help their self-worth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and that's, again, I'm stereotyping. I'm obviously not every man on the planet is like that, and not every woman, but yeah. I feel like I always have to add that because I know that people, not everybody fits.
Absolutely.
And some people can feel that I'm not, you know, that I'm just, that I don't know. And I want them to know that I know.
That is awesome. And what I know, Oceana, is we are out of time. And this is such a juicy topic. I know, right? We will circle back to this because it is so juicy and so fabulous and so much here to mine. So I wish all of you a fantastic beginning to the new year. This has been Oceana LeBlanc and Stephanie Peterson with Practical Witchery. Please join us next week for the next episode. Have a wonderful week.
Please
Bye-bye.
Do. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Bye.